Development of a Regional Clinical Pathway for Total Hip Replacement in a Rural Health Network. You're listening to Longwoods Radio, your healthcare source for ideas, new policies, and best practices. Clinical pathways have been introduced internationally in healthcare as a strategy to improve efficiencies along with quality care. Pathways have been proven to control costs with predetermined standards of care using replicable processes based on sound literature review and meta-analysis without decreasing quality of care. A new trend is emerging with healthcare regionalization, where pathways are beginning to be developed and implemented spanning multiple hospital corporations. The Grey Bruce Health Network began developing and implementing regional clinical pathways across its networks of hospitals and community healthcare agency in 2002. The Grey Bruce Health Network is a network of four corporations, three hospital corporations with 10 small rural hospitals, one regional center, and a community healthcare agency, the Community Care Access Center, the CCAC, which provides home health care for the region. These corporations began working together to implement seven deliverables as a network. One of these deliverables was to develop a common process for assessing the quality of services provided by the corporations. The initial process determined by the Network for Internal Coordination of Care was the development and use of clinical pathways. The network proposed to develop regional clinical pathways, guidelines for care that would span all 11 hospitals as well as the CCAC. It was intended that these pathways would improve communication within and across the hospitals and community healthcare agency, improve efficiencies, both clinical and financial outcomes, and improve access to best practices in the network. One of the first pathways developed as part of the project was Total Hip Replacement Clinical Pathway. This is a unique pathway in that it successfully spans all 11 hospitals, inpatient, outpatient, and ambulatory care areas, as well as a community healthcare agency. The Clinical Pathways Steering Committee developed a template for clinical pathways in the region, along with a process for developing and implementing them in early 2002. Using specific criteria for choosing which pathways the network should develop, the first pathway chosen was for patients undergoing an elective total hip replacement. Using the framework for development created by the steering committee, a development team was initiated for the project. A pathway for total hip replacement already exists in the network's regional center, so members from that frontline multidisciplinary development team were recruited to revise this pathway and regionalize it. In addition, members from the community hospitals and the community healthcare agency in the network were recruited to be sure their perspectives were incorporated into the regional pathway. The team met over a period of 4 months to create the pathway, using existing practices and a sound literature review on best practices. Research on the total hip replacement pathway success has shown that pathways can reduce length of stay, resource usage, and increase patient satisfaction. It is also recommended that a separate extended pathway be developed for those patients who are older, weaker, or in poor health, general health, as they will not go home in the expected time frame on the pathway, and this identifies a plan of care for those patients. In June 2003, a four-stage pathway was developed and piloted in the network. The team developed a pathway package that included six pieces. First, the Clinical Practice Guideline. This guideline developed from consensus statements and other literature on total hip replacement. It is a resource for staff and physicians who wish more background information on the contents of the total hip replacement pathway package. Second, the pre-admission package. The pre-admission package is primarily an education program to help the patient prepare for surgery. It has two parts, a patient education package and a clinical pathway. The patient education part outlines the procedures for surgery, precautions following surgery, an exercise program, and community resources available to patients. The clinical pathway includes an acute stage of their surgery, which is a documentation tool used by the multidisciplinary team from the pre-admit clinic to the first five post-operative days. Third, the acute stage pathway package. When the patient arrives for surgery, the multidisciplinary team continues to use the acute stage of the pathway. A variance record tracks variances to indicators throughout the pathway. Fourth, the post-acute pathway package. Approximately 45% of patients in the network are transferred out of the regional center to the community hospital before being discharged home. It is therefore important to the network to ensure that a consistent transfer of patient care information flows with the patient to the sites. It is hoped that this pathway can be used to create internal benchmarks within the network to help improve efficiencies and utilization. Fifth, the community care stage pathway package. This stage of the pathway was developed for community healthcare agency physiotherapy providers, as well as outpatient physiotherapy, which the majority of total hip replacement patients require following discharge. This outcome-based pathway tracks how often we are meeting goals before discharge and how long it takes to meet these goals. Sixth, the ambulatory care stage. An early notification system has been set up to streamline care from hospital discharge to the follow-up appointment at the ambulatory care clinic. While the patient is still in hospital, the surgeon fills out a pre-printed order for the follow-up appointment, including the date the patient is to return, the location, and any necessary tests required before the appointment. The pathway was piloted in all network hospital sites May 2003 through April 2004. The pathway was used 100% of the time in the acute stage at the regional center for a total of 119 patients. The results were excellent. However, it was expected that usage would be high due to the fact that this unit was used to the concept of pathways for their total hip replacement patients. Before this pathway was developed, no other site in the network had used a pathway in this format. It was an entirely new process for the sites. During the pilot, the pathway was used 15% of the time in the post-acute stage. A questionnaire was distributed to all users of the pathway post-pilot to identify issues with the pathway and/or the process for implementation. The explanations for the low usage included 1. Lack of staff attendance at education sessions, leading to staff not knowing how or when to use the pathway, and 2. Lack of patient volume, so staff did not remember that a pathway existed for these patients. Another goal of this pathway was to ease the transfer of patients to the community hospitals for convalescence care and provide a guideline for care. It was noted that a significant number of patients were transferred to an outlying hospital, 44%, in some cases to complete the last few days of acute care, and in other cases for post-acute or convalescent care. This number has increased over data from the previous year, which showed 40% of patients were transferred out of the regional center. This increase was due to a number of factors, including a corporate-wide initiative by the regional center to bring patients closer to home for care, surgeons having more contact with the community hospitals, as well as implementation of the pathway, which now ensures continuity with a guideline for care at each stage of the patient's care. One main indicator for the pathway was to reduce variation of post-operative physician orders and to incorporate best evidence in these orders. At the time of the pilot, the orthopedic surgeons had agreed on orders with the exception of antibiotic prophylactic use. Particularly important was the introduction of standard orders for the anticoagulant usage in the prevention of deep vein thrombosis for these patients. It had been an issue in the past when patients were transferred, as the receiving site often did not receive specific orders from the sending physician and had to call the regional center to find the orders for continued anticoagulant use. With the standardization of this order, transfers were much more streamlined and care more efficient at the receiving site. Also helpful was the standardization of physiotherapy and occupational therapy protocols for these patients. Previous to the pathway, the 4 surgeons had different preferences for these therapies, making it difficult for both nursing and therapy providers. The standardization of these therapy protocols has added to the efficiency of care for the patients. A measure of this indicator is the proportion of time pre-printed orders were used by physicians. Following these orders reduced treatment variation for staff and improved clinical outcomes through the implementation of best practices. According to the variance records returned, pre-printed orders were used 71% of the time. This is a much improved rate over the previous year, when the previous pathways was in place. It is estimated that before this pathway was piloted, the orders were used approximately 50% of the time. Another goal was to standardize outpatient physiotherapy and CCAC physiotherapy care following hospital discharge. This was achieved by developing the community care stage of the pathway, which provides a guideline for care based on available best practices. This is expected to help benchmark the average number of visits, length of time on service, and average wait time for patients with total hip replacements receiving community care. The network will use this information to develop internal benchmarks for care. The community care stage of the pathway was used only 28% of the time in the CCAC environment and 17% of the time in an outpatient physiotherapy environment. Some reasons for this include a lack of staff knowledge to use the pathway, a changeover in the provider agency at the CCAC, and/or these patients were still on services at the end of the pilot, and thus the pathway had not yet been returned for evaluation. It is hoped that through continuing education and time that this will be corrected, and we will have more data for this stage of the pathway. An important indicator for the pathway was length of stay. It is hoped that by using best practices and the ministry-established benchmark for length of stay, we will reduce the average length of stay at sites using the pathway. Also, for patients transferred to an outlying hospital, we want to start tracking their lengths of stay and develop benchmarks for the future, as is not currently done. There was a 1.55-day increase in length of stay at the regional center. This was the result of two initiatives that happened across the network. The first is that many more patients are being transferred out and transferred earlier than in the past, bringing patients closer to home for the remainder of their care as part of the repatriation initiative. The second initiative is, with the introduction of the pathway, there is a guideline for care with a benchmark of 5 days. It is important to note that the cost efficiencies of the total hip replacement pathway were attained by the regional center only, as there is no data to show if there was a difference in length of stay for patients once transferred to an outlying hospital. Thus, the overall efficiencies might be a wash or considerably less if, as a result of increased number of transfers and earlier transfers, there is an increase in cost to the community hospitals. Overall, it was noted that a transfer patient had an increased overall length of stay versus a patient that was not transferred, a difference of 3.22 days. However, it is recognized that these patients often have more comorbidities and require convalescent care, and the inpatient costs per day in a community hospital are much less than remaining in the regional center, so it remains to be seen if there are still cost savings. All indicators have shown an improvement from a financial outcome perspective, as well as adherence to best practice guidelines. Once implementation issues have been solved, we should see an improvement in the number of patients on pathways in the outlying hospitals and in community care, improving efficiencies and clinical outcomes in all of our hospitals across the network. Plans are currently underway to change the process for implementation, including a new champion for each site that will be on the unit monitoring pathway use, a new record for tracking pathway use, and new education communication strategies that will be in place by spring 2004. This will be in time for the release of the pathway's full implementation in April 2004. It is also a goal of the network to move into electronic documentation that will incorporate electronic clinical pathways. Information transfer would be much more streamlined, pathways would be more flexible to meet complex patient needs, and data collection would be automated and thus easier. This case study was written by Jessica Molesky and Katrina Wilson. This has been Longwoods Radio. Thanks for listening.